After its May 30th release date, Disney Pixar's animated film Finding Nemo exploded onto the all-time box office list at number 13, grossing over $300 million by the end of its run. But as much as this tale of this charismatic little clownfish, or Amphiprion percula, raised interest in tropical fish and habitats, it also served to be somewhat misleading. I'm Elena Morick. Stay tuned for Worcester Science News investigation of Finding Nemo, Fact and Fiction.
What are we talking about? Nemo, where's Nemo? I've got to speak with him.
What is it?
Your dad's been finding the entire ocean looking for you.
My father? Really?
Really? Oh, yeah. He's traveled hundreds of miles. He's been battling sharks and jellyfish,
sharks?
All sorts of...
That can't be him.
Are you sure? What was his name? Well, some sort of sport fish or something. Tuna? Trout?
Marlin?
That's it. Marlin, the little clownfish from the reef.
It's my dad! He took on a shark!
I heard he took on three.
Three
sharks?
It's
gonna
be
4,800
teeth! You see? Now that's an interesting concept. A percula clownfish risking his own life to find his juvenile son. If every fish in the ocean were doing that, they'd never form new social groups.
I'm here with Dr. Jackie Hunter, marine biologist. Dr. Hunter, are you saying that the entire premise of the film is based on an event that wouldn't even take place?
Clownfish will protect their young, to be sure, but only as eggs. Once the eggs hatch, they float into the upper layers of the ocean, surviving on the plankton there. As they mature, they begin interaction with host anemones, including developing a layer of protective mucus and finding their own social groups in which to belong. Chances are they'll never see their parents again.
Parents? So clownfish do live in monogamous pair relationships?
That's one place the film got it right. Clownfish stay in established groups, which tend to consist of a dominant female, a breeding male, and several non-breeding male members. They are limited to the Indo-Pacific region because that is the location of their habitat, sea anemones. They live in a symbiotic relationship with the anemones, as you see in the film, remaining immune to the host anemone's stinging cells. The sting is, for other species, deadly. So, in exchange for protection and shelter, the clownfish attract other fish, which are killed by the fatal sting. But besides Nemo being kidnapped to become a pet, that's about where the accuracy of the film ends for me.
You did mention earlier that clownfish are some of the most popular aquarium fish because of their bright and exotic coloration, usually orange with black and white striping. But if that's where the accuracy ends, are you saying that Nemo's father Marlin would have found a new mate instead of mourning the death of his wife?
Well, something like that. In actuality, the death of the dominant female results in a sex change for the breeding male. So instead of raising his son himself, Marlin would have actually turned into a female. Therein lies the utility of the non-breeding members. Once the breeding male changes into the dominant female, one of the non-breeding males will change into a breeding member, although I can see why Disney might have left that out.
Well, there you have it, folks. If Disney were worried about accuracy, we'd be seeing Nemo deserted as a larva by his androgynous father, fighting through the Indo-Pacific for limited resources just to survive. I think, for now, raising interest in the tropical fish was a good enough start. I'm Elena Morick, and this has been Worcester Science News.